Hello, my name is Aaron Josselin. I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Georgia in Athens, Georgia. I'd like to talk to you all a little bit today about an improved fallow, or a slash and mulch improved fallow system in the Amazon of Brazil. Agriculture in the Amazon of Brazil consists of three separate areas: cattle ranching, soybeans, and small holding farms. I would like to focus the rest of this presentation simply on small holding farms, which are generally characterized by family members performing most of the labor. Occasionally they will hire outside labor during harvest time or at planting time when there's specific need for more work. Many, if not most, of the family farms practice some form of Swidden agriculture, in which fields are cropped for 1 to 2 years before they are followed by secondary regrowth. The predominant form of land preparation on these types of farms is slash and burn, where the vegetation is cut, left to dry, and then burned to release the nutrients for the eventual crop uptake, similar to using fertilizer. However, slash and burn is associated with large nutrient losses in smoke, particularly nitrogen, as well as losses from erosion and leaching. Principally phosphorus and potassium are lost in that method. Most small holding farms have low external inputs, such as fertilizer, hence the need to burn the vegetation to release nutrients for the crops. Slash and burn farming is not inherently unsustainable if the fallow period is sufficiently long to allow for nutrient accumulation in the biomass, and that usually takes about 25 years. However, socioeconomic pressures in Brazilian Amazon, most small holding farmers are reducing the length of the fallow regrowth from what used to be typical about 25 years. It's now edging down to oftentimes as low as 3 years, but 5 to 7 years is quite typical. Not surprisingly, most farmers generate very little revenue from the fallow phase of their farms, and this increases pressure on the farmers to generate additional revenue from the crops, further exacerbating the losses of soil fertility. This is a negative cycle in which fertility from these soils is continuously lost. So, many of the farmers in this region are turning to other practices, such as agroforestry, to address some of these issues. Basically, agroforestry is the intentional incorporation of trees into the agricultural landscape, and agroforestry is kind of an umbrella phrase to encapsulate many different forms and practices, and also utilizing different functions to accomplish these goals. If you just happen to randomly have a tree pop up in the middle of your field, that doesn't really count as agroforestry. It has to be an intentional incorporation of these species. So there are temporally defined systems in which the crop and the secondary vegetation grow at separate times. Slash and burn farming would be an example of that. And there are also spatially defined systems in which the trees and crops would occupy different spaces in the cropping system, but they would work together or grow together at the same time. During this presentation, I would like to focus on two agroforestry practices among the many different types that there are. Two practices working together: slash and mulch, and improved fallow. Slash and mulch agriculture has been developed in the eastern Amazon of Brazil to substitute for the use of fire in land preparation. Fire causes large losses of nutrients through smoke, as I mentioned before, but also through erosion off the soil surface and through the wind, because the soil has been made bare and very susceptible to erosion. Fires during the burning season also contribute to respiratory health problems for people who live in the area, such as asthma and bronchitis, and oftentimes cause damage to neighboring farms when the fire set by the original person escapes and invades somebody else's farm. It's not a very friendly neighbor to do that. Mulching the biomass rather than burning it reduces nutrient losses because all the nutrients in the biomass is then applied to the soil surface in the mulch. The mulch layer also prevents erosion because you're putting all that biomass right there on the surface. It blocks the rainfall impact on the soil and also prevents losses to the wind. However, slash and mulch practices do have a few drawbacks, including very high carbon to nitrogen ratios at site preparation, oftentimes 80 or 100 to 1. So there's a need for nitrogen fertilizer during the first year of the crop system. Oftentimes the mulch will have decomposed sufficiently after the first year so that nitrogen fertilization is not necessary in the second year. Of course, the mulching practice itself also leads to increased costs. Setting a fire is very cheap. Using a tractor or slashing with by hand is quite expensive. Here we can see the mulching tractor in action. I would have liked to put a video in. It's very impressive. I've given presentations with the video, and it has caused problems with the computer, so I decided to just go with the picture. As you can see, the tractor here is pushing down the trees, and this is a 7-year-old secondary forest in the rainforest of Brazil. It's pushing the vegetation down, and the chipping device is the little red thing on the front. It's going to chew all that vegetation up, and as you can see in the foreground of the photograph, it distributes the mulch rather evenly across the soil surface. So, switching to the improved fallow concept, improved fallow practices generally use fast-growing tree species to accumulate nutrients in the biomass for eventual deposition on soil surface, which will then be taken up by the crop. Nitrogen-fixing trees, such as Inga edulis, are often utilized since nitrogen is a limiting nutrient for secondary forests in the eastern Amazon. For mature forests, phosphorus is often thought to be the limiting nutrient, but when in secondary forests, it usually turns out to be nitrogen. Planting the desired tree species gives the trees a head start on the weedy competition that will take place during the fallow phase, so that they have improved survival and also improved growth for harvest eventually. Also, in the improved fallow, you can plant valuable timber species that will allow for farmers to use them as an investment, something that I like to call the green bank account, because the farmers will be able to harvest these valuable timber species at various times throughout their life, and they can receive direct cash infusion from the fallow phase itself. So my slash and mulch improved fallow research project took place in Igarapé-Açu in the northeast state of Pará in Brazil. As you can see, it's about equidistant from the Amazon Delta, marked by the Bahia de Marajó, and also from the Atlantic Ocean. It's less than 1 degree south of the equator, so it's, by definition, very tropical. It is in the tropical rainforest, in the Coppin system. Igarapé-Açu receives an average of about 2,400 millimeters of rain per year. So it's very wet. But there is about 4 to 5 months of very strong dry season in Igarapé-Açu. So let's meet our stars of this research project, my friends, the Cropton trees, starting with manioc, locally known as mandioca. It's a very starchy root crop, somewhat similar to potatoes. In the middle, at the top, we have Inga edulis. It is a nitrogen-fixing legume. It is widely used throughout Latin America as a cover crop in cacao and coffee plantations. It has very high nitrogen concentrations in the leaves, which makes it very good for green manure. It's relatively fast-growing, but it does not get very tall, maybe 25 to 30 feet. It has a very bushy or copious growth habit, so it's not very good for timber. Cedro, or Cedrela odorata, is a relatively slow-growing, very high-value timber species. Fava, Parkia multijuga, is a fast to medium-growing, high-value timber tree. It's a legume as well, but it appears to not be a nitrogen fixer. The literature is pretty unclear. Ceiba pentandra is native throughout Latin America. It is a medium to slow growing timber species, valuable for pulp. And Parika, or Schizolobium amazonicum, is a fast growing legume. It has a moderate timber value, generally for things like matchsticks and vegetable boxes. So our experimental design was a two-way factorial using a randomized complete block design with four blocks. We had 16 total plots on a one-hectare site. We planted trees at about 1,200 stems per hectare, a 4-meter by 1.8-meter spacing. And the spacing is important because we want to leave the valuable timber trees in place for future crop rotations, but we want to be able to drive the mulching tractor through the middle of that row. The manioc was planted at 1 by 1 meter for about 10,000 stems per hectare. The main plot treatment was use of phosphorus and potassium fertilizer, and the subplot treatment included the nitrogen fixer or not, Inga edulis. You notice that the Parkia multijuga is included in one treatment but not the other. It was unknown at time of planting if it was actually a nitrogen fixer, so we decided not to risk it. I investigated roots of the Parkia multijuga several times over these years and have never found a nodulating Parkia, so adding further credence to the idea that it might not actually be a nitrogen fixer. So when we drove the tractor over the 7-year-old secondary forest, it produced about 55 tons per hectare of mulched biomass. You can see at the bottom left, you get the leaves mixed in with the stems. It was pretty thick, 3 or 4 inches, pretty consistent across the whole site. And then in the bottom right, you can see what the secondary forest looks like after 6 years. The litter is almost entirely just recently deposited leaves and fine twigs and things. There were no differences in the mulch layer mass in any of the 3 years, although it did decline consistently. Litter fall in secondary forests of the eastern Amazon are roughly about 10 tons per hectare per year, and our the mass on the surface was about 12 to 13 tons per hectare, and with the high decomposition rates, the almost entirely recently deposited leaf litter at year 6. So for our crop, after 1 year, phosphorus with potassium fertilizer increased the manioc root yield by about 600%. The trends of increased root biomass with the presence of Inga edulis, but they were not significant. Most farmers are harvesting their manioc after 12 months, so we went and harvested again after 20 just to get all the manioc off the site before secondary vegetation began growing. Not surprisingly, phosphorus and potassium fertilization increased volume and biomass of the planted trees. In the case of Schizolobium amazonicum, it was quite spectacular, about almost 750% increase in volume. Inga edulis had an increase of about 300% for biomass, and that will also be accompanied by a large increase in nitrogen content in the Inga edulis plots. So, for smallholding farmers, you certainly want to make money, but you also want to make sure that you're not exporting all your nutrients. And so does this improved fallow system allow the farmers to recover their nutrients that they're exporting in the crop? The answer appears to be yes. In the leaf, the nitrogen content of the leaf material alone is enough to compensate for all the nitrogen as well as phosphorus and potassium that are exported with the manioc tubers. And if you add the manioc tubers and the tree wood together, the nitrogen content of the leaves is enough to compensate for both of those as well. Even though at year 6, we would only be exporting the wood from one of the 5 species. So, the effects of Inga edulis up to 6 years in fallow growth, in the initial phase, we saw reduced competition, reduced weeds, which was good, And with that also was accompanied by a trend of suppressed tree growth, which is bad. But we did see trends of increased manioc growth in the presence of Inga edulis, so that's another benefit. During the fallow phase, we saw large increases in nitrogen content in the Inga plots, increased nitrogen in the trees. We also saw a trend of suppressed tree growth in the presence of Inga edulis. So, I can conclude from this portion of the data that the green manure from the improved fallow can supply the nutrients that are lost in the crop export, also able to supply nutrients lost from timber export. The exciting thing to me is that the idea of the green bank account seems to hold up even just within the first crop fallow rotation with fertilization. Schizlobium amazonicum could be harvested after one crop fallow rotation of 7 years. So, as I mentioned a little earlier, there are some negatives to the Inga edulis, and so it does need to be actively managed to gain all the positives that we were looking for, because it can have negative effects on tree growth, but it does supply nutrients to the crops and trees. It's also widely used in other systems to suppress weed seedling growth. One of the negatives of the slash and mulch system is that it chews up the trees. It doesn't necessarily kill them, so there's a lot of root and stump sprout. So the management of weed competition is necessary. I'd like to thank our research partners at Embrapa Amazonia Oriental, Osvaldo Cato, who is the leader of the Projeto Tipitamba, which housed our research project, and Ricardo Figueiredo, who is our contact and colleague. Also at the Universidade Federal Rural da Amazônia in Belém, Francisco Assis de Oliveira has helped with research and lab equipment, and my advisors at the University of Georgia, Daniel Markowitz and Larry Morris. Thank you very much, and I would be happy to entertain your questions.